I'd like to call this council in committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
All members of council are present, with the exception of Councillor Butler and Councillor Passero.
Thank you. There's no addendum this evening. There are no announcements, with the exception of just to alert everybody to the fact that today was the first day of school. The kids are all back. They're wandering up and down the sidewalks. Some of them are crossing streets at various locations in town. So I would urge all drivers to be very cautious, particularly when you're in the area of any of the schools in town. That takes us into disclosures of pecuniary interest. Any disclosures? If not, there is a notice of a public meeting to take place on September the 18th with respect to a zoning bylaw amendment at 397 Garrison Road down to Louisa Street, property known as Peace Bridge Subdivision. That will take place at 6 p.m. in the council chambers on September the 18th, and the information report relative to that application will be available on our website on Wednesday, September 13th. We have a public meeting this evening relative to a property rezoning on Hibbert Street, known as Willow Trail Townhouses. This is a public meeting where, pursuant to the Planning Act, we will ask our staff, Mr. Kernahan, to provide some background information. Then anyone on behalf of the owner or the proponent of the development or the zoning application may address council, and then we will hear from anyone who supports that and anyone who is in opposition to that. So, Mr. Kernahan, good evening.
Thank you.
Clerk, save me.
The zoning bylaw amendment, which is subject to this evening's public meeting, was received by Ken Gagneau of Upper Canada Consultants, who's the agent on behalf of Wilf Goldlust of 2298423 Ontario Inc. and is the owner of 3601, 3605, 3607, and 3611 Hibbert Street. The purpose of the proposed zoning amendment is to permit modifications to the existing townhouse dwellings that would remove portions of the garages in order to achieve a 6-meter front yard setback, which is required for a parking space in the driveway. The current site-specific zoning requires that an attached garage, which is 6 meters deep, be provided, and the proposed zoning would remove this requirement. The proposed zoning bylaw amendment would also change the zoning of the subject property from RM1-346 holding to a site-specific RM1 zone with site-specific regulations for front yard setback to the dwelling and covered porches, side yard setback, and the exterior side yard setback. Notification of this public meeting was provided in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act by placing a notice in the August 10th and August 17th editions of the Fort Erie Times. In addition, property owners within 120 meters were mailed notice of the complete application on August 10th. This is an aerial photograph of the subject property and the surrounding area. The subject lands are located in the Ridgeway Thunder Bay neighborhood on the south side of Hibbert Street, west of Prospect Point Road North. Land uses surrounding the subject property include the following. To the north is Hibbert Street and additional lands of the owner, which are also part of the Willow Trail subdivision. To the south is the Friendship Trail. To the east is Prospect Point Road North and Dominion Woods Phase 2 subdivision. And to the west are additional lands of the owner, which are also part of the Willow Trail subdivision, as well as vacant commercial lands. Subject property is designated residential medium density in the Ridgeway Thunder Bay Secondary Plan. The existing street townhouses are permitted. This slide shows the natural heritage features on and in the vicinity of the subject site. As you can see by this slide, there are none on the site or in the immediate vicinity. As I mentioned, the subject property is currently zoned RM1-347 holding, which permits the existing street townhouse dwellings with site-specific provisions. These include site-specific relief from certain zoning requirements, including front yard setback and the exterior yard setback. And also, this zoning imposes some additional requirements on the development, which are more restrictive than the current regulations of the town's bylaw, which include maximum height of the dwelling and a requirement that the townhouses have attached garages. A minor variance was also obtained for this property, which provided additional site-specific relief to the minimum front yard setback to the dwelling and garage, the maximum height, and maximum lot coverage. This application for the zoning amendment proposes to change the zoning of the subject property to a site-specific RM1 zone with site-specific regulations for front yard setback to dwelling and covered porches, maximum building height with no change from the current requirement, minimum interior side yard setback, maximum building coverage also with no change from the current requirement, and the minimum exterior side yard setback. This slide shows the site plan for the subject property. The existing townhouse dwellings are shown on the right. Front yard setbacks shown are reflective of the proposed renovation that would be permitted by the zoning bylaw amendment. Other aspects of the site plan are existing and will be unchanged by this proposal. Four additional townhouse dwellings will be constructed within the area identified as Block 4 to the left. These townhouses will be built in accordance with the existing RM1-347 zoning. This slide shows a side view of how the parking area would be configured in front of the garages of the existing dwellings. You will note that there will be a 6-meter setback from the garage door to the property line, which will provide an adequately sized parking space that meets the zoning requirements for the parking space dimensions. Slide shows the same thing, except an aerial view of the proposed parking area configuration. This is a view of the subject property looking south from Hibbard Street. Again, a bit of a closer look at the westernmost dwelling unit looking south from Hibbard Street. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kernahan. Do any members of council have any questions? Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Mr. Kernahan, just, I know the history of the property, and when were we aware of the fact that this building was built too close to the road? At what stage of the construction?
Following the pouring of the foundations.
As soon as the foundations were poured, we knew that the foundations had to be moved back. And it's my understanding now, reading this, that the new owners knew about the conditions?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Kernahan, what if you could go to slide 6 in your presentation? Okay, so maybe it's the next one. You go to the next one? Back, maybe it was slide 5. Okay, try 6 again. That's what I... Yes, okay. So is the gray line the middle of the road, Hibbard Street, or Prospect Point, or any of those roads? Is that what that depicts?
I don't believe so, Mr. Mayor, no.
Do you know what it does depict?
I really couldn't say. I'm not...
Okay. It appears that Hibbard is wider in the vicinity of the property that we're talking about, as opposed to much of the rest of Hibbard. Do you know how that occurred?
Through the draft plan approval process, the town took a widening on Hibbard Street.
That's already been done?
Correct.
And with respect to the site plan, are there going to be sidewalks on the south side of Hibbard?
No.
So the sidewalks for this development would be on the north side? And is this street going to be improved to standards with a curb?
Yes.
Both sides? So I know that one of the previous, according to the report and your comments, a requirement for a garage is an enhanced requirement for this zoning?
That's correct. Ordinarily, the RM1 zone wouldn't require an attached garage.
So was that a condition requested by the municipality at the time of the previous rezoning?
That provision was put in place at the time the zoning was changed in 2006.
Do you recall, you were here then, I believe, for your time?
Was.
Okay. Having reviewed the file, do you have any knowledge as to why staff would have requested that and council would have required that at the time? Actually, I guess I was here in 2006. Seems a lifetime ago.
My review of the report would suggest that the intent was to provide an additional parking space in addition to that in front of the garage.
So the current application would eliminate the requirement that there be a garage?
The current application would eliminate a requirement that there be a garage, and there will still be a structure attached to the dwelling which could provide for car parking. However, a garage in our zoning bylaw has a definition that includes that it be 6 meters in length. The proposed construction and the cutting back, so to speak, of the garage would reduce the size of the interior of the so-called garage to accommodate for a larger parking space in front of it.
So could the zoning not have been amended to provide for a shorter garage space?
That was an option, yes.
Guessing that you don't think that the space is going to be big enough to park a car?
It would be big enough to park some cars.
Small car. I think you would agree that the municipality has no control over who's going to be buying these particular units when they're sold. Could have a big car, small car, truck, SUV. And so do you recall or do you know if there were any other alternatives suggested with respect to how to deal with this particular predicament current owner faces?
This application arose through following an application to the Committee of Adjustment, which was made earlier this year. The applicant had requested that he be permitted to encroach into the town's road allowance while parking in the garage in front of the driveway. Staff weren't in support of that proposal. That was the alternative that precipitated this zoning bylaw amendment.
Do you have any knowledge of whether there's been any discussion with the owner about the possibility of moving the traveled portion of the roadway slightly north to provide for adequate space for parking of a vehicle in front of these townhouses?
I personally don't have any knowledge of that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kernahan. Are there any other questions before Mr. Kernahan steps down? Councillor Lubertz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just listening to some of the comments from the mayor, you said the garage now is supposed to be 6 meters. What is it going to be? I know we got a drawing there, but it was difficult to see.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, slightly over 5.3.
So actually, what did we accomplish by doing this zoning change? We didn't have a parking space in front of the garage. Now we don't have a parking space in the garage unless we purchase a small car. But we can't dictate to what size car people buy when they buy a home. So I don't understand what we're accomplishing here.
The thought is that oftentimes people don't use their garages to park cars. So there's a higher likelihood of people using that parking space out front of their dwelling to park a car than there is for them to use it within the garage.
So we really haven't accomplished what we're looking for. But we still got, as far as I'm concerned, we have a mess there.
But
it all started as soon as we put the foundations in. We knew the problem was there, and now it just keeps escalating. And it seems that everybody around that subdivision and around that building, it seems to me that everybody else has to accommodate somebody's mistake or somebody doing something that they shouldn't have done. That's the problem that I'm having with this. I see we got the report coming up, so I'll save most of my comments for that.
Any other questions by members of council? So just one further, Mr. Kernahan. Were you here in 2012 when the minor variances were applied for? So at that time, this would not have come before council. It was a minor variance which would have been dealt with by the Committee of Adjustments.
That's correct.
Staff and maybe even you at the time would have made a report to the Committee of Adjustments, which would have outlined what the Planning Department's position was. And on page 3 of the report, there's this reference to the parking would only be within the garage. That was staff's position at that time.
Staff's recommendation was that the variance be approved subject to the insertion of a clause in the subdivision agreement, which advised for future purchasers that parking would need to be accommodated in the garage.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Okay, we'll now hear from anyone on behalf of the owner. Back to the application.
Good evening, everyone. My name's Ken Gagne of Upper Canada Consultants, and also with me this evening is Gerald Pat, who's the project manager on behalf of the owners. There's the site again. I don't think I need to elaborate much on that. A little bit of background. The subdivision plan was approved in 2006. It's going to be registered soon. Permits were issued for the model block for only 4 units. The models were constructed and the surveying error came as a result of measuring the front yard setback for the garage from the original road allowance rather than measuring it from the future widened road allowance. A lot of finger pointing. No one really understands how the mistake was made, but that's the measurements add up to that. We know that's what happened. So a variance was approved back in 2012, and the condition as a result of the minor variance was that you can't have parking in the driveway because there's not 6 meters between the garage door and the front lot line. So that condition is imposed in the subdivision agreement, which requires all purchasers of units to be advised that you can't park in your driveway. There's the plan. You can see the original road there shaded in a little darker, and you can see the widened part of the road, which has a widening on the north side and a widening on the south side. This little diagram shows the four units as they face the street. The 6 meters, you can see, was measured from the original road allowance. That yellow area is the widened road allowance, so you can see the difference there of a couple of meters. This is a sort of a visual diagram of what it would be look like from the air. There's no sidewalk on the south side of the street. There will be a sidewalk on the north side of the street, and you can see that the front, the garage doors are only 4.6 meters from the front lot of the new front lot line or the new edge of the road allowance. And there's about another 2 meters between that line and the actual curb. So what this diagram does, this shows you that you can actually park a car between the existing garage door in the driveway in front of the house, and that car would not encroach onto the street. It encroaches onto the road allowance, but it wouldn't encroach onto the curbs. The issue is that the vendors are unable to sell the homes because there's no parking requirement in the driveway. And the difficulty with that is, as we all know, if you have a home, you can't park a car in the driveway. You can't park your own car there. Visitors can't park there. You can't wash your car there. So all that activity gets transformed onto the street. So that is a rather serious concern. So the solution that we came up with was to adjust the garage doors of only the four model homes. We're only talking about the four models. All the other homes in the project will be constructed at the 6 meter setback as required by the zoning bylaw. And the result is the garage depth is going to be 5.36 meters instead of 6, which is a little more than half a meter difference. And there's the measurements in feet. So the difference is about 2 feet in the garage. So the garage is 2 feet shallower than the normal 6 meter depth garage. And we've done some studies to show that there's a large number of small cars, medium-sized cars that fit within that size of a garage. Here's the same diagram that I showed you before, except that we're showing here now the garage doors set back at 6 meters from the new road allowance, the widened part of the road allowance. And this drawing was shown before, but this one's colored up a little bit to show you can see the existing garage door. You can see it move back to that yellow line, and the space is 5.63 meters inside the garage, and the garage is 3.34 meters wide. And the only difference in the dimensions of the garage is the length. The width and the height still meet the typical zoning requirements for a garage. This is the side view. You can see the original garage door where it'd be going right through the sort of the bumper of the car there. And now it's going to be moved back so that there's 6 meters between the new garage door and the front lot line. So that is a legitimate legal sized parking spot in the front yard, not extending onto the boulevard of the road and not extending over onto the road allowance. This is another visual impression of that, showing the revised situation where we've got the garage doors moved back. You can see all the cars in the existing models would be set back from the front lot line or from the road allowance, and the same as all of the other cars and other houses on the street. And this is a sort of a blow up of that, which shows you a little clearer. You can see where the garage doors were, and you can see where they're being moved back, and you can see that cars can be easily parked there and not extending onto the road allowance. And on this side of the street, there is no sidewalk. The sidewalk is required on the other side of the street where there's a little more space. So our application would be implemented by the zoning bylaw amendment, and we worded it a little differently than the way the town planners have worded it. We're saying that we're amending the garage depth requirements, and the town planners are putting in a little different words, but meaning the same thing, that they would say that if it doesn't have 6 meters of depth, doesn't meet the terminology or the definition of garage. But in effect, what we have is a garage space that's only 2 feet less than a normal garage. So it can be used for storage. It can be used for parking small vehicles. And you can park a car in the driveway, so you can have guests park in the driveway. You can wash your car in the driveway. You can have deliveries there, etc. And also, in order to implement this, there's an amendment to the subdivision agreement to remove that restriction that says you can't park a car in the driveway. So really what all this is about in the end is that the garage doors are being moved back 2 feet, and it's going to be a smaller garage, which allows smaller cars to park there. And a car can also be parked in the driveway and not extend onto the boulevard of the street. And that provides us with sort of a car and a half parking spot in the driveway and or garage. And it removes the need for the users of these homes to park on the street. The status of the project is we're nearing registration. There's been an environmental remediation study done, environmental cleanup done, and the application's been sent to the Ministry of the Environment, and we're waiting for the record of site condition, which we expect back shortly. The subdivision agreement is complete. It's been executed by the town and by the owners. Security deposits have been delivered to the town. Site servicing is poised, ready to begin as soon as we have that record of site condition back from the Ministry of the Environment. And housing construction after servicing would follow shortly after that, and probably would mean that the project would be complete in about a year, because all of the units are going to be built all at one time rather than staggered into sections. So that concludes my presentation. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer. And Mr. Pat is here too, if you have any questions of him.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gagne. Do any members of council have any questions?
Thank you, Your Worship. Can you answer the question how the site remediation of the environmental concerns was done with the four model homes already being built? How did you remediate the contamination with
what happened there? The most of the contamination was simply coal. There was some coal on the site because coal was delivered and stored there at one time years and years ago. Typical farmhouses nowadays, if you tear a farmhouse down and build a subdivision, they're finding coal on those sites because a lot of the old farmhouses used to have coal burners, and they would find some scatterings of coal deposits around the outside of the building where the coal was shot into the basement. So coal is really not a major environmental issue. There was no oils or there was no major contaminants. It was mostly coal. And so we had a company do the environmental study. They submit the study to the government, and it's determined what you need to do to clean the property. And then there's a terms of reference in order to do the environmental cleanup, and you have to follow all the Ministry of the Environment regulations for that. Then the consultant prepares a report that gets sent to the Ministry of the Environment that says, here's the report, the site is now clean, it meets all the requirements, and then the Ministry of the Environment reviews that report, and then if they want additional work done, they will ask for it, and if they find that the report is adequate, then they just simply issue a record of site condition, which means the property is totally ready for residential use.
Thank you, Your Worship. How deep are the basements on those units?
They're typical basements, typical depth basements. I'll say 8 foot depth, which is typical depth.
Was there boring done through the foundation in the basement to check soil underneath?
Not that I know of, sir. Like, I got involved in the project after those units were built. I don't know what happened during the process of construction. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Lubertz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Going back to your comments about the mistake that was made in the measurements, they used the old road the existing road measurements instead of the widening. And, I mean, I understand that, but the problem that I'm having with this is the mistake was made and it was realized. And nobody made any attempt to fix the mistake. Now they come, and I hear now that the property has been sold to a new owner. And now the new owner, knowing full well that these were the conditions, saying, well, I can't sell the units. Well, he bought the units, so the other guy didn't have a problem selling them. So, I mean, he bought the units, and now he's saying, I can't sell the units. But, I mean, when I'm at work, if I make a mistake, I have to fix the mistake. And I understand, I get where we're going with this here. But what I'm seeing here in the drawings is very simple for any new owner over time to just go back and put that garage door back where it is now. And I heard Mr. Kernahan, he said that it's not necessarily required to have a garage. So why don't we just get rid of the garage? And then even if you bring it to a point where it's just a utility room and have no garage door and just have building four units with no garage, then we don't have a garage. We don't have to worry about any size of the garage. We don't have to worry about a setback for the garage, and you have ample driving space for a driveway. But to me, that would simplify, because here's the problem that I see.
Excuse me, Councillor Lubberts, is that the question? Why not eliminate the garage
yes.
door? Did you want to let them answer?
I understand what you're saying. This is actually what planning staff at the town have recommended. It's not a garage as a defined garage. It becomes a storage space because a typical garage is 6 meters long. So it's not a garage. The parking space will be in the driveway. The space that would have been called a garage can still be used for small vehicles. It's got a garage door there. Same as when you open a garage door, you have lawnmowers and you have rakes and shovels and things in there. That's where you would store those items. So it's a garage shape, but it's typically now not going to be used as a garage. It's more of a storage facility.
Councilor Lubberts.
Yes, I understand that, but I mean the question is, why not just eliminate even the garage space? Eliminate the garage door. Move the wall even back even further, say half of the space. Now you can have it as a utility room or a storage room, and then we don't have to worry about whether it's a garage or a garage space, and we eliminate the garage door. Then I don't think we have a problem. Now we eliminated the garage, which Mr. Kernahan says we don't need a garage necessarily. That was just something that our planning staff at the time said, you know, we would like to see a garage. So everybody agreed that they would put the garage. Well, let's eliminate the garage completely, because the problem that we run into, and I've been on this council now 7 years, going on my eighth year, and they keep telling me, if you set the precedence and someone comes along later and wants to put a garage in at 5.8 meters or whatever it is now, then we will lose at an OMB hearing because we've set the precedence now. And we have the same problem with side yard setbacks, front yard setbacks, and we keep going through this whole cycle. And I don't know that I want to get involved in that, and I don't want to get wrapped up in something like that with a garage. A garage has to be a certain size. If you can't make it that way, eliminate the garage and make arrangements with staff to eliminate the garage completely.
Okay, if I can just respond, that's precisely what town planning staff is saying. It's not a garage. It's a storage space. It has a garage door on it, which is convenient to move snowblowers and lawnmowers and things in and out of, but it's not a garage. Those four units won't have a garage. All of the others will.
Yes, I understand that. But why not just eliminate the garage door and make the garage only half the size? Now you can't even attempt to use it as a garage. And now we don't have to worry about precedent-setting cases of amendments. That's the question. Why not eliminate the garage door completely and make the garage, you call it the garage space, make it half of what it is now?
I don't really have an answer for that, because it's still just a storage space. I don't think moving the door back any farther is going to change that. It's still going to be a storage space.
Is there a problem with having the storage space less than what's proposed?
I would think it would be better to have a larger storage space, so then things won't be tempted to be scattered around the property. They'd be tucked away inside a room where they're nice and neat and tidy and not on the street or not in the backyard.
Anything further, Councilor Lieberts? Since we're on that, is there some other storage space within these units?
In the basement, yes.
But you don't necessarily need to have that for storage. It could be utilized for a small vehicle.
Yes.
Despite the fact that it won't be technically, according to the planning department, a garage, it could be a location for a vehicle. That's fine. My question is this. This road's going to be dug up because you have to put in curbs. And is there any underground work that has to be done?
Oh, yes, there's underground servicing. We have to do excavation, water, sanitary, storm sewers, all the utilities.
So you have a widened Hibbard Street, the length of the property that the current owner owns, with the exception of a little part at the extreme west end of the holdings. Why not simply move the traveled portion of the road slightly north to accommodate the space that you need between the road allowance and the front of the buildings and approach it that way so that you've got not only a garage, but you also have parking space outside of these units that doesn't encroach upon the traveled portion of the roadway. Why not do that?
Hey, let me answer my answer first and then you can jump in. How's that?
I'm happy to have many answers.
Okay. It's a monumental task to go back and redesign the road, go back through all of the different government agency approvals for the servicing plans and the road redesign, and to get the Ministry of Environment approvals for the design of the road, and take a year to do that process.
So maybe Mr. Pratt, did you want to answer, give an answer too? Because my next question is for you.
Sure. Mr. Mayor, Council, all the councilors, thank you very much for affording us the time this evening. I know there's a lot going on, and I do appreciate it. Prior to meeting with yourself and Mr. Brady, with one of the owners, prior to that time, when I originally got on this project, was given this portfolio, a meeting with the town planning department, my first question was, can I just move the road? And the answer was, much of what John, you just said the amount of work involved to do that, that wasn't going to be allowed, and staff didn't want to support that. Since then, it's been a long journey for me to find a solution to a problem that's been there for a while. We came to meetings, we've come to staff recommendations, we tried committee of adjustment, that didn't work for us, and finally we said, okay, we're going to come to council, and this is what council and staff wanted us to do. That's why we're here. In the interior dimensions, you'll be amazed at how many cars are 17 feet or not. They're just under 17 feet. It's not just smaller subcompacts. The majority of crossovers today and SUVs are 17 feet, 16.8.
So I'm glad that you provided a little bit of background there, because I was concerned that maybe I had misconstrued the nature of the meeting that you and I and Mr. Brady and Councillor Butler were at.
Right.
Where that issue of moving the road also did come up in connection with a rezoning, I believe. Call that? Okay.
Yes.
And there was also discussion about the application for a minor variance at that time. I think you would recall that.
Yes.
Yeah. So if I'll be plumbing the depths of the issue about moving the road when we get to the staff report. I won't question you further on that, because you would only know what you've been advised by staff. But I did want to ask you, when the current owner acquired this property, he would have been fully aware of the plethora of issues relative to this particular four-block unit, would he not?
Absolutely. I mean, they did. Certainly he did his due diligence. He knew what he was getting into, and he knew he had to find a solution to the problem. I mean, the final solution is to make them rentals and just continue forward. They're committed to building the site out. So the question is, do you have four properties that you just make rentals because you're not going to be able to sell them with the restriction that's currently there? We tried to do committee of adjustment to try and have that restriction removed. And again, even though a car's on the driveway, it's not hanging over the curb. There's this perception that, oh, they're too small, they're hanging over the curb. No, the car is sitting and it's hanging over an invisible lot line. I understand that it's there and it shouldn't be doing it, and that's not the way it is. So what we're trying to do is ensure that no other developers come back and say, hey, how come it was okay there and it's not okay here? We understand that. And we're all trying to come to a solution other than tearing the homes down, because that's not a solution with the owner. We can finish it out and continue and keep it as a rental, but that's not, that doesn't make economic sense at the end of the day.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pat. I don't know if any other councillors have any other questions. Not. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Is there anyone who wishes to speak in support of the application for the zoning amendment other than the owner and his consultants? Is there anyone who wishes to speak in opposition? Mr. Strugar, and then I'll go back to you, madam. I can advise you that your email message sent out this morning or late last night has been circulated, and I believe that staff has it and councillors have it.
Correct. And people listening in tonight might not have it, though, so.
Yep, that's fair enough. We need your name and address for the record.
So my name's Dan Strugar. I live at 3630 Hibbard Street, which is on the north side of the four units that are being discussed this evening. And just as a little point of clarification for a few things that came up, with regards to the width of Hibbard Street down from Prospect to my property on the north side, it's not any wider. It might be flared at the corner of Prospect, but it comes straight up. And the reason I know that is there's a, I had a request in earlier in the year for a tree removal, which I found the tree was on my side because the town representative, I forget who it was, came out and marked the street. And there's a hydro pole that sits right there as well. And there's also a storm drain that sits right there. So if you're widening the road on that side or putting sidewalks in, I would assume that travels further down. I can't say for sure. So again, thank you for allowing me time on the agenda tonight. And Councilor Luberts, I think you're right on the ball with we're getting a lot of running around in circles here to accomplish the same thing. So concerning the proposed bylaw amendment, the existing units on the property, I have many concerns about. And what I see here is, like I say, a lot of going around changing a piece of paper to accomplish really nothing. And in turn, leaving a lot of issues with regards to safety of the area in question. At the end of the day, it's the sole responsibility of council and staff to ensure the safety of the citizens of the town of Fort Erie and to make decisions that are based not strictly on the bottom line of a balance sheet. It is the responsibility of council, yes, to encourage development, absolutely. But at the same time, it is the responsibility of council and staff to hold investors and developers accountable to the policies and bylaws that were currently established by people who have the expertise in these areas, and they do know what they're doing. So why are we not entrusting them? Why are we making this clause in this amendment, this clause in that zoning law, and changing what was already there for a specific reason? As we've already heard, the development's been flawed since 2006. The developer at the time was notified, as was noted in the report, which we're going to hear later, I'm guessing, regarding the road widening, but the developer went ahead and poured the foundations as it was anyways. So why was this not addressed then? Valid question, Councillor Luberts. What we did is rather make the developer fix his own problem. Why did we not do that at that point in time? A valid question. Then we find out later on down the road, about a year or so ago, that the soil in the area is contaminated. Why was this not done in 2012 or in 2006 or in the 6 years in between? So from what I've heard tonight, there's been an environmental cleanup tonight. I've witnessed the excavation myself. Councillor Nutt, you made a valid point actually asking about the soil under the foundations. We've had a lot of removal of soil around the area, but what about underneath? We haven't heard from the ministry yet, so why are we moving forward until we hear from them? If there was an environmental issue, why was there no correspondence to the neighborhood? Has there been follow-up testing done? What are the long-term ramifications if that is such the case? Now, these issues may not be part of the zoning request, but the environmental cleanup was something communicated to the developer. So moving forward, again, I ask, why are we moving forward before we have results? With regards to the amendment request, I am sure the developer when they bought the property were well aware of the past history, as they noted tonight. And one could safely assume before moving into a purchase of such nature, this would either have to be disclosed or at the very least, any intelligent potential purchaser would have done their homework to ensure all permits were in place and any issues were discovered, and that those items would be part of the negotiation in the purchase and sale of said properties. Now, in the report that was released last week, PDS 59-2017, Appendix 3, the diagram there shows you a car sitting in a driveway. Yet with all the measurements that are given, you see height of garage, distance to the property line, 6.01 meters. The only thing you don't see is the size of the car. So really, that's an incomplete and inaccurate diagram of a car sitting in a driveway, because you don't know if it fits or not, because you don't know what car that is. And we've discussed small cars, large cars, smart cars. So I've measured the width of the garage doors, which are barely 8 feet wide, 2.43 meters. If you were to look up a Ford F-150 pickup, before the mirrors are included, which stick out from the body, Google's a wonderful thing for finding things like this, they're 2.02 meters in length, in width. And depending on which option you have, those mirrors, having worked in the industry, can be anywhere from 6 inches to a foot wide per mirror. So tack on another 0.6 meters. That vehicle will not fit in that garage, or storage unit, or whatever you want to call it. It will not fit. So let's look at a Chevy Malibu, a mid-sized car. Well, 1.8 meters before the mirrors are included. Add on about 6 inches for that. So when you pull your car into the garage, which it will fit, assuming you don't have garbage cans and rakes and shovels and things to the side, you have about a foot and three quarters to open your door. Now myself, I'm not getting out of that car door. So if you have a smart car, good luck to you. I don't see too many of those on the road. I see a lot of trucks around town, a lot of big vehicles. Now, if you park that same pickup in the driveway, which in the diagram is showing is 6.01 meters from the garage to the property line, assuming you don't put the bumper right against the garage door, but leave some space for your spouse or whoever to come around the front of the vehicle to enter the house, having rather than walking all the way out to the street, you have, say you leave a meter from bumper to garage door, still a small space to walk around. That leaves you 5 meters to park the vehicle. If you look up the specifications on that vehicle, you will find it is 5.316 meters. The truck will not fit in the driveway because, as we heard tonight, it's 5.38 meters now in length. So suffice to say, and that doesn't include if you drop the tailgate down either, by the way, which is about another 2 or 3 feet in length, 2 feet. If you're unloading materials to finish your basement or whatever the case may be, hockey equipment, whatever. Safety is the concern here. It's not which zoning bylaw we're going under. Regardless of what zoning bylaw you go under, you have to consider the safety of those within the area that are using the area. What if there's more than one car per unit? I don't even know how many bedrooms these are, 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom, but I know most families nowadays are 2-car families, so where do you park that second vehicle? What if you have guests? How safe is that road to travel now? Consider the traffic coming down from uptown. Businesses that are located up at that area, there's travel on there late at night, during the day, and potentially quite a few times they come down that road fairly quickly. Attention, NRP. With vehicles getting to the very end of the driveway, or in some situations extending the driveway, what is the risk to potential children that are in that those units, which could potentially now be rental units, as I'm hearing? If you have a large pickup or even mid-sized car parked in that driveway and a child playing in the front yard, what's the view sight line coming down the road? I know I have tenants in my building, and that's already been an issue on my side. I actually had to take down a bush because it was just too much of a visual blindness for people coming down the road. We almost had an incident there once already. What do you do about the sidewalks in the future? What about parking for guests? People attending the farmers market every Saturday. That's a heavily parked street on weekends. What's the economic impact to those and to the vendors that come through there and support it? So allowing a zoning change on a piece of paper to suit a developer's needs does nothing to address the real dangers that exist. What about essential services such as snow plowing in the winter if you have a vehicle right up to the end of the road? What about school buses? What about garbage collection? There's a whole whack of other logistics that just do not seem to have been considered in this that should be. So in closing, I don't see any advantage to either zoning bylaw change. I only see potential risk. And by allowing this to move forward, it should have been addressed when the foundations were poured with full knowledge they were wrong. Because the developer knew when he poured them they were wrong. It's already been noted. So why do we allow that to continue, and why are we allowing it to further continue? So thank you for your time. Has any questions?
Thank you very much, Mr. Strugar. Do any members of council have any questions? They said we've all received your message, so we know the essence of your comments and your concerns. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, madam.
Hi.
We have your name and your address for the record, please.
Sure. Roxanne Burton. I live at 3252 Hyman Avenue, which is not very close to Hibbard, but as a resident of Ridgeway, I do use Hibbard very often. And I've been watching this, the progress of this development over the years that I've been living here. And I'm glad that you raised the issue, Mr. Mayor, about widening the road allowance, because that was one of my first thoughts when I heard about the survey boondoggle. And my other thought was, well, if these people own property on the other side of the road, maybe the idea is to set aside some extra parking spaces to make up for the boondoggle. Yes, it's going to cost them money, but it's going to cost them money no matter what they do. And it's been years and years, and it's still costing them money to carry this property, obviously. I think the planning department's first idea was to require a garage and a parking spot, because that was a way to have at least a cursory way to have space for two cars for each dwelling. And I can't imagine having less than two cars per dwelling in Ridgeway. There may be a place for it in big cities, but I don't see a place for it in small communities where everybody has to have their own vehicle, notwithstanding the improvements to the bus service that has been percolating. So my additional suggestion is maybe the developer has to suck it up and make some additional parking spots, possibly across the street, to make up for the fact that there are not two parking spots for each of these dwellings. And they say that they're only doing four, but on their slide presentation, I noticed that they've already moved into the fifth one in terms of their presentation.
I think that was just a graphic. I don't believe they've got five yet.
No, there's not five yet, but if that's the plan that they're planning to use,
yeah,
then I'm bringing to your attention that they've not set the next one appropriately either.
Fair enough.
So with all this talk about, okay, well, we're not, you know, we don't have space for visitors. Well, guess what? You don't have space for visitors anyway. All right, because you've only, you know, even if you've only got two spots, you're going to have two cars for each house, and the visitors are all going to end up in the public parking lot. And if those visitors are staying overnight, then they're going to be in the public parking lot the whole time. And so this is another appeal for this development to have set aside additional parking spots, because you're intensifying to such a degree, by the time you put in all the other townhouses as well, that there is no space for anybody to have anybody stay overnight, unless they get dropped off and go somewhere else. And I would say that if you get somebody, one of these properties that is sold to some family that has a kid that's working, how many of us have empty nesters living with us? then you've already got a third car that's going to end up where? In the public parking lot. And so that's going to be, and you can't put them on the street. There's all this talk about street parking. Well, you can't park on the street because they're all driveways. So all the street parking that's there now, while it's conveniently vacant, that's all going to disappear. So everybody should write that off right away. So yes, I'm very concerned about precedents. And I can't help noticing that I think there's a special council meeting for the same group later this evening where there sounds to me, no? Okay.
No, that's a different issue, and it's a special council meeting to facilitate an amendment to another bylaw, different bylaw.
Oh, okay, because it, you know, in the newspaper thing, it looked very similar, and I just had visions of the same group, you know, looking for hands out all over the place.
No, they're not part of that.
Okay, all right. So therefore, there's my precedent thing. It's just centered on Ridgeway.
Thank you. Ms. Burton, did you have any written notes that you wanted to leave with the clerk, or were you somewhat?
No, I'm just off the cuff.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Before you go, do any members of council have any questions of Ms. Burton? Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes? Mr. Couts, please come forward. Good evening.
Good evening, Your Worship and members of council. My name is Charles Couts, K-A-U-T-Z. I live at 3247 Thunder Bay Road. I will wear two hats tonight, and I will be brief. My first hat is myself, and I won't whip the boondoggle that's been whipped around tonight because it's been going on for years. But I would like to remind you that according to the Municipal Act 12990, there should be a subdivision sign that shows all these streets, this, that, and the other thing, but that never happens. I've asked you about it before. It never happens. And in an hour, it will never happen again. So I just wanted to mention that. The other thing I was curious about is if people say, instead of going with a garage door, put up a solid wall to save energy, do they have to come back for another minor variance to have an enclosed room or something like that that may not have windows? And you may see this again, you know, revisited in 6 months. So I was a little curious about that. And in my second hat, I'm going to speak on behalf of the Lindsay family. You've heard me speak about Corrine Lindsay, the late Corrine Lindsay, who died this month. She was the nanny for my children for 17 years. She built one of those new townhouses on Prospect Point North. The property was recently rezoned, and I know this is getting off topic, but you did send us a notice. Thank you. The last time I mentioned Corrine's problems with that crazy road behind her, her property is devalued to the extent now with that and with this problem that the estate is struggling with a 15 to 20% reduction just in a realtor's estimate, lower than what she built it for 3 years ago.
Can I just ask you if part of that reduction can be directly related to this particular parcel?
Yes.
If it can't, that's
yes.
Somewhat.
When you walk out the front door and look south, that's all you see. It looks like a messy sandbox. No one knows what's going on. Now there's stuff on the other side of the road. Who knows how long it's going on for? You people are devaluing the neighborhood with your policies. And to answer Mr. Lubert's question, when was the town first aware of it? They became first aware of it when he told you people about it back in 2012. I was here that night. So if anyone can answer the question about if they possibly need a rezoning or a variance to enclose that room to save energy or to use it the way they're going to use it, I would appreciate that. If anyone has any questions, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Couts, and I'm sure someone will raise that when we get to the report.
Thank you.
Any members of council have any questions of Mr. Couts? No? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition to the application? Mr. Poole? Evening.
Evening, Council, Matt. My name is Jim Poole, 3811 Webstock Road. I got to say, the last gentleman talked, I agree with him on one point. Those stone valleys of those houses across the street are lowered because of those houses across the street on the Hibbert Street. But that's a thing that's been going on. People talk about that. Like I talked before, when I talked to council about these houses. Everybody comes to town and look, and they always wonder why they're not for sale. And I hope everyone you councilman had over the years had a chance to drive in one of those driveways. Because when you drive in those driveways, you're on an angle like this. I've driven myself, and I just can't believe it. Like we say, we're going to put the garage they're going to have to take the garage floor and cut it down or something to make it level, because you can't go over there and have an angle. You understand what I'm saying? So the other thing is, I heard the owner mention about rental. So if you rent it, you can go ahead and rent it right now. That's all. Go ahead. I don't understand why you can say, I'm going to rent it. If I can't sell, I'm going to rent it. If you can't sell, why are you allowing to rent it? If you can't operate, you know, people live in there. I'm misunderstanding. You're saying you can rent it if you can't sell it. I don't know. Because you rent it means you don't need no parking spots. The other thing is that 310 Ridge Road, I always go back to that one because that's one of my favorite subdivisions in this town, is they have parking out front. And it's like this gentleman just said, or he said before, there's an opportunity that they do own the property across the street. They should bite the bullet and put some parking spots across the street. That's you bought the property, you know there's a problem with it, and that's one way of fixing the problem is make a parking lot across the street, just like 310 Ridge Road has. So, and the thing is, like, I've been watching this for years. And it started out, they found it was a problem, then they sat there for a while, and then they put they framed it, and then it sat there for years and years. Then all of a sudden they said, okay, let's put the siding on, let's finish it. I don't know how it got this far. It should have ended a long time ago. This should have just tore it down or make some parking spots or move the road. There's all, with these changes we're making right now, I disagree with them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Poole. Do any members of council have any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition to the application? If not, then I'm going to declare this public meeting closed, and we will be dealing with the staff's report later on in the agenda. This takes us then to the consent agenda. Are there any reports that any councillor wishes removed from the consent agenda? If not, then could I have a motion to move the reports in the consent agenda? Councillor McDermott, thank you. Are there any questions or comments with respect to any of those three reports? Mr. Walsh, I had a question with respect to IS 27. That's the Dover Court Road water main. There is a slight shortfall, and have we identified where that money will be coming from?
Mr. Mayor, without breaking down the project into its components, water, roads, storm, sanitary, I can't answer that right now, but it would be coming from one of those reserves.
I wonder if you could pass that on to council through a memo so that we know where it's coming from. I would have thought that should have been in the report, but
yes.
If you could advise us of that, that would be helpful.
Email adequate?
That would be fine.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? If not, all those in favor of the items in the consent agenda? Opposed? Okay, none, that's carried. That then takes us to Planning and Development Services, and the Vice Chair of Planning and Development Services is Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Planning and Development Services is now in session. We have no presentations or delegations, and the first report is PDS 55-2017. A recommendation that council extends draft plan approval for River Trail Estates Phase 2 of Mover.
I think that's already been moved, has it not? Does it need to be moved again, Madam Clerk? I believe this was moved at the August 21st meeting and then deferred until this evening. Or postponed.
Yes, okay.
Or
yes,
postponed.
You're right. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So we're back on. Any comments or questions? Councilor Nutt?
Yes, thank you, Chair Luberts. Through you to Mr. Brady. Mr. Brady, can you give us, since August 25th when this was postponed, an update on any progress with this subdivision?
Mr. Brady? Certainly, through you to Councillor Nutt. There were a number of items that were asked. The most pressing was the issue of grass cutting or weed cutting, depending upon how you view it. That, some work has been completed on that, and it's in fairly good shape from the point of view of the weeds have been cut, and the property looks relatively neat. There were two other items that were also looked for, which one deals with the stormwater pond and the issues associated with the clothing around it. There's been no update on that. There's also been a request for a timetable as to when the neighboring properties which have been damaged will be rectified. There's been no work on that. And there's also been a request that there's just generally speaking, the property is very disorderly in terms of construction material, and there has been no changes to that.
Councilor Nutt.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. Through you, Chair Luberts, to Mr. Brady, Jeremy and I had attended the site on Tuesday the 29th, and we had noticed that the silt cloth, and he said that that day he would email the contractor and notify them that there were issues with drainage, especially with the cloth being covered in mud and not allowing the water flow properly through the stormwater management that's installed there. Do you know if Jeremy did send that email? Can you confirm that he did?
Mr. Brady.
Through you to Councilor Nutt. Yes, Jeremy sent that email, and I believe there were subsequent follow-up emails. Jeremy is very particular in terms of following up. So there have been a number of emails, and that was certainly one of the issues that was raised.
Has the, through you, if I may, Councilor Luberts, Chair Luberts, through you to Mr. Brady, in the follow-up that you have had with the project lead on this, what has been their reasoning as to why no progress was made? When we met June 20th with them, we asked them for a construction schedule, at which they provided, at which last meeting, August 25th, when this was deferred, it was determined that they had not adhered to that project schedule. So, have you had any further dialogue as to the reasons why there have been delays or why they haven't?
Mr. Chair, on a point of order, can I just point out that I believe the developer and the developer's agent are here, if any members of council wanted to ask questions of them.
Okay. If they'd like to come to the podium, they can answer for themselves.
Mr. Brady, can you answer that? Or?
It would appear that their agent's moving to try to answer these questions.
Thank you very much. Could you please just state your name and for the record? And
Stuart Randall from Peters Excavating. I'm Linda's agent as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you. First, and did you want to answer a question?
What's the question you wanted to answer first?
You provided, after the June 20th meeting at which the mayor, myself, and staff attended with you and the investor, you had provided a construction schedule that has not been adhered to. Can you explain why?
The reason was at that meeting that we attended with you, we were hoping to receive funds back from the town in time that would allow us to use those funds to complete that work. Those funds haven't come from council yet. We're self-funding the project 100%, so we haven't gone out to obtain any type of financing. We are making, after discussions with Jeremy today, some progress with moving ahead independent of the return of our deposits, which it wasn't a letter of credit. This was all cash. And we're right now in a situation where we're in a bit of a cash crunch and needed that money back. That's the reason the repairs didn't take place. The fabric. There was fabric repaired. I sent Jeremy pictures. That was addressed on multiple structures. The one specific structure hasn't been, but he received those pictures for all the sediment stuff that was improved.
Yes, well, thank you very much. I'm a little confused on the deposits. And
well, we have substantial cash deposits that were paid to the town before the subdivision started, and we were hoping to get our primary service deposit back to continue on with some of the development.
Yeah, I guess that would be another question for staff to answer.
Yes, certainly. Mr. Brady could.
Yes, we're holding deposits, as we do with all subdivisions. What we do is we wait for the developer and his engineers to provide us with the detail on the adequacy of all of those. Those are then inspected by our staff, and a determination is made. There has been no detail provided to us from the engineers. That would be the engineers for the project. So there is no ability for us to provide any funding to be returned because there simply has not been any information provided to us that would allow us to make that determination. And that, by the way, that information has been asked for on a number of occasions as well.
Councillor Nutt.
So, Mr. Randall, through you, Chair Liberson, Mr. Randall, that being said, that who's the engineer?
Associated Engineering. It's no longer Upper Canada. It's Associated Engineering. Rick Gertz attended the meeting with us at the end of June. He has since left Associated. So it's been reassigned to another gentleman by the name of Stan Matthew. I believe has been in touch with the water department for the town of Fort Erie. Jeremy confirmed that to me as well, that in fact there has been requests come into the town for information. And there is some work that needs to be done on the site to expose valves in order for them to complete the fire flow testing. But there is communication dialogue back and forth between the engineer and the town.
I don't see Jeremy.
No,
he's not here this evening.
No.
Mr. Brady? I'm going to relinquish the floor for now. Let the other councillors ask some questions. I know the mayor also has some questions.
Mayor Redicott.
Yeah, thank you very much, and thank you for coming out, Mr. Randall.
No problem.
And the owner. Just to finish up with this issue about the deposits, so there is some work that still needs to be completed and confirmed?
Yeah, it's not work. The work is actually completed. What it is part of the primary service certification. And that we need to uncover some valves and stuff so that fire flow tests can be done. It's minor items that need to be addressed. If I could just clarify, irregardless of the deposit return, we are going to go ahead immediately to restore the three properties that Jeremy has noted.
All right, which is in response to one of Mr. Brady's comments?
Correct. So irregardless of the, we will find alternate funding to complete that work to satisfy the town and the individual residents.
If I might, Mr. Chair, you know that we're getting a lot of comments and complaints from residents in the neighborhood.
I can understand that. I understand it's a stalled development that's been stalled for probably 15 years. 16 years? Thank you.
So, okay, madam.
But I understand exactly where you're coming from and the concern. So we'll make those properties good immediately.
If I might, Mr. Chair, then, the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
When is this development going to be registered? When are you going to request final approval?
Matthews and Cameron is actively forming registration now. They're on site barring this week.
Doing some survey work
to finalize. Yeah, they're actually out barring the subdivision. The plan document will be registered with the town, I'm going to say, at the latest, the end of this month.
Okay, so, Mr. Chair, just if I might, one final question.
Go ahead.
At the last meeting of council, there was discussion about extending the draft approval for one further period of 3 months.
That would be adequate.
So within that 3 month period, you're quite confident that this plan will be, an application will be submitted for final approval.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Randall.
Okay. Any for Councillor Nutt?
Yes. Not so much a question for you, Mr. Stewart, but some items that I've listed here that the residents are very concerned over in that area.
Go ahead.
The first being the water that's pooling at the corner of Black Creek Drive and Baker Road. The resident that lives at that corner has significant water, and I was out there. I did take pictures.
Black Creek Drive and where, sorry?
Baker Road. As soon as you turn right and go in,
okay.
Mr. Pacuzzi's property, immediately behind it, there is stacked concrete, which at June 20th meeting, I had also asked that if we could also accommodate and move that. It's stacked too high. I said if we could give him peace of mind by moving it away from the back of his fence, that was never done. The weeds were growing. There's still significant water pooling in there. There is a catch basin there. The water's not making it to the catch basin. It's causing flooding up onto his property. Near the pump station, the silt covers for the lady, her name escapes me right now, and I know that Jeremy and I had visited that site. There's a drainage ditch there that...
I know the three you're talking about.
Yep.
Those were all done. I was on site myself personally Saturday when they were being done. That's one. There's one on the one side of the road by the pumping station and two on the other side by the outlet. all three of them were addressed Saturday.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go to the site and
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. Yep.
I'll go out there just to, for my own peace of mind.
That's fine. Yeah.
Also, the amount of just damage along when you get into the subdivision and you move to, I guess, what would be considered the northwest corner going around towards the park, there's significant buildup of debris, dirt. There's also an old orange construction fence along the back of those properties. And I'm not sure if those were the exact ones that Mr. Brady had referenced. I also know that on some of the abutting joining roads on the interior, that's those property owners have a built up debris at the corners of their property. I'm assuming that those are the ones you're talking about that you're going to remediate and remove all of that
debris? Correct. There's,
debris?
There's three. Yeah. One, there's one on, there's two on River Trail and the one on Canfield. Hmm. Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much. Just a last few comments is that
yep.
the residents are not opposed to this development in theory, but when you go on for a year and a half, and see that it's stalled and stalled and stalled, many of them are actually welcoming this, the new park, the new homes. They feel it will be great for the community to welcome in new people, but sir, I have the floor, please.
Go ahead.
What they're very disappointed about is the length and the fact that, and we'll take that on as a town, that there hasn't been significant steady communication with the residents in that area. And I'm going to apologize on behalf of myself as their ward counselor for not taking that up and communicating a little better. I handle the issues as they come up one-on-one, but I think maybe a group meeting probably would have been appropriate at the community center there to just provide an update to all the residents and maybe food for thought as we go through this, if there are any other delays or snags or anything that we do to undertake that as and have that formal face-to-face communication, because there's nothing better for a person to get some sense of where it's going than have the ability to ask the person who's doing it directly their questions and have their questions answered. So just as a you know, lesson learned in this situation.
I would agree. Yeah. I, you know, the, throughout the duration of the project, it may be something that's wise for us to do. Project goes on.
Council Knott, that's it. Any other further comments? Mayor Redekop, you mentioned that last meeting we were discussing 3 months. What I see in the report, this is for February 6, 2018. Are you prepared to make an amendment?
Councillor Knott had raised that as well at the last meeting, and I believe he wants to address that.
Yes. Councillor Knott?
Yes. Thank you, Councillor Luberts. I'd like to amend that council follows the alternative recommendation that council extends, that we choose to extend the draft plan for a lesser duration than the February 6, 2018 requested by the applicant. As we've heard tonight, the developer is in the process of registering, so I feel that at this point we extend them to 90 days from today's meeting. I know in the report it says November 6, but we deferred 2 weeks, and I think that we should accommodate that in our timeline. So,
what would that date be?
November 30th, 2018.
November 30th?
Yeah. And that no further extensions.
Thanks, Wayne.
And that would be good for the new owners and stuff. Yes. Okay, that amendment is on the floor. Any comments or questions? None. I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That's carried. Now we move on to the report as amended. Any further comments or questions? None. All those in favor? None opposed? That's carried. That moves us to PDS 57-2017, proposed zoning bylaw amendment at 185 Catherine Street. Jennifer Vita from Upper Canada Consultants is the agent for 800547 Ontario Limited. Ed Lachishan, the owner. Have a mover. Moved by Councillor Zanko. Any comments or questions? Mayor Redekop.
Just a couple of technical questions. The report indicates that there were two lawyers that requested information from the municipality, but they didn't request any information about the actual zoning of the property. What then did they ask for?
Mr. Brady?
I'm not sure. Mr. Kernan.
Through you, Chair Luberts, to the Mayor. Information on the status of property taxes and water billing. What they asked for was something called a property information status report. There's different variations of this report that you can ask for. One includes zoning, one doesn't. They chose the one which didn't include of the property.
Thank you. Intuitively, that doesn't even make any sense to me. The issue about whether this is a duplex or a triplex and it's in a area where there's all single family dwellings and prospective purchaser doesn't ask for the zoning information. I don't do real estate, but I do know a little bit of law. I find it very curious. I must say that I'm very reluctant to support this. I will support it, but I'm very reluctant to support it because I don't have a lot of confidence in the information that we've been provided and what I've heard and how this all seems to fit together. I also have concerns about how we're going to ensure that if this is approved, if this zoning amendment is approved, that it remains a duplex. You'll recall that we were given information at the last meeting that there were three units, supposedly all occupied by people related. And so I have some concerns about that, but I'm going to go along with this because it appears that this property has been utilized for a lengthy period of time as at least a duplex, but I'm not supporting it enthusiastically.
Any other comments or questions? Yes, I got a couple of comments or questions that I'd like to ask. I'm just wondering if I should turn the chair over to another member of council, Councillor Nutt. Yes, thank you very much. And through you to Mr. Brady, I'm looking at page 3 of the report, and it goes on with Niagara, Region of Niagara official plan. And it says the region policy plan identifies Catherine Street as a built-up area, and it meets the objectives directing growth and development within Niagara's existing urban areas and promoting intensification. But what I'm reading this is promoting intensification via infill development. And from my understanding, infill is if I have an empty lot and I'm going to fill it with a unit, then that's what they're trying to promote. So anything new, they're trying to promote some intensification. This is existing. And it's an existing single-family home, which is zoned that way. And I'm just wondering, if I'm looking at it that way and interpreting it that way, then how is somebody going to convince me that this meets the policy?
Mr. Brady?
In answering Councilor Lubert's question, the statement that's on page 3 is a summarization of comments from the region. So the region has identified that this is a built-up area, or actually the province has identified that this is a built-up area, and the region has identified that this meets their objectives of directing growth and promoting intensification. Intensification in this case means going from one unit to two units or two units to three units, as the case may be. And infill development can mean vacant lands being converted to residential or some other form of development for that matter. But infill can also be a existing home becoming two or three units. So the region does, as part of its general efforts, wants to have more people living in more in smaller areas inside the urban boundary.
Councilor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much. Mr. Brady, you made a comment that these were comments from the region. I'm looking at this as the title of this here part was the planning context. And the way I read it is the regional policy plan identifies, but further in the report is where we have comments from relevant departments and corporate partners. And I would think that that would be where the region would make their comments, no?
We take the comments from the region and we put them within the planning context.
So how do, with infill, I guess that what I'm going to need to do is read the policy and see where it says that we rezone properties to allow intensification in there in with infill. I got to see how that the two of them go together. But I'm along with the mayor. I'm looking at this here, and you know we have a piece of property, and even though you know we're being told that the new owner, Mr. Lechishin, purchased it as a duplex, it's not zoned that way, and I can't believe that nobody took the time to look at the zoning. Here we are with another piece of property where everybody's claiming that, well, you know, we made a mistake. We didn't do this and we didn't do that and somebody didn't do their due diligence. But, you know, all that aside, you know, why don't you guys just forgive us all for all our mistakes and nobody be penalized. We won't point no fingers at anybody, but we'll just give this guy a zoning change. So the people that get penalized are the innocent people living in the neighborhood. And I don't know if we should be doing that. And I think it's time that councilors, and I'm not just saying this council, I'm saying past councils, future councilors, everybody, we need to start thinking about the residents in our town and what they're going through, because they're sitting there at home or they're sitting here in the gallery and they're saying, you know, it's a developer. We'll just give them what they want. And sooner or later, we have to say, you know, enough's enough. And, you know, this person here, this here group, this developer and his company, they're constantly violating the rules with the town of Fort Erie. And here's just another perfect example. We don't agree with it. We understand that it's wrong, but we're going to let the guy go anyway. And I just can't support it. I think it's time that we have to start putting our foot down and saying, you know, when you make your mistake, you pay for your mistakes. We make our mistakes, we have to pay for our mistakes. And I won't be supporting the recommendation. I think that Mr. Lechishin and his company is going to have to bite the bullet and return it back to a residential home, single family.
Thank you, Councilor Luberts. Councilor McDermott, did you want to speak to this? I saw your hand up previously.
Yes, I will. fascinating night. Properties and new developments this far from the road. We have apartments being built right under our nose, but no grip on it. I suppose out of the two projects that Mr. Lechishin has, this one is probably the closest thing to being near right. Although I do not like when apartments are built, I have no business building them. That really bothers me. I believe this has probably been a duplex for the most of the period of time that it's been there. And I'm a little shaky on supporting this group as well. However, I believe because of the developer's poor health and now the situation that he's put his family into taking over this business, you know, I'm probably willing to give a second chance in the case of this, because I believe the family is very aware of what's gone on, and I don't think they support that. And I suspect that if it's left a duplex, it's not going to turn into a triplex. And so, I mean, I'm willing to give them a second chance on this one. I might not be that generous in the next one, but I'll support this, hold my nose and do it with the good faith of the people that promised that they would adhere to the laws.
Before I come back to His Worship and Councilor Liberts for a second time, Councilor Zenko, did you want to speak to the issue at all, or don't have to?
Thank you. No, I was just actually going to say that I feel quite similar to my colleagues. I'm very uncomfortable with this. My fear is that if we support this tonight, there really isn't anything stopping this into turning into a triplex. So I'm looking at the report and coming here really feeling uncomfortable about supporting it. I'm interested to hear additional comments, but that's where I stand as well.
Okay, the chair will recognize his worship and then back to Councillor Lubert.
Thank you. So after having stirred up the hornet's nest, let me, I guess, clarify my thinking on this. We know, I don't think it's challenged that this property has been used at least as a duplex for a number of years, as Councillor alluded to. This isn't the only property on Catherine Street that has multi uses. There is a group home in the same vicinity. Had the current owner not purchased this property and had a complaint been issued with the municipality and had it been investigated and had it been determined that, in fact, the previous owners were utilizing the property improperly, they could have made an application for a rezoning. And the staff has given us their reasons why this is a justifiable rezoning, so that I do believe that there is a rationale there. We all know that the provincial government is looking for intensification. They're looking for additional units, opportunity for us to comply with those policies to the extent that we can. Because every time we have a single family dwelling that we issue a permit for, a building permit for, we've got to find some other type of multi-residential uses in the community to at least match what it is that the expectations are from the provincial government in terms of intensification. So that I also think that we have to divorce from our decision making how we feel about a specific developer and how we should be addressing the merits of the application based on the law. So that I don't have to like the applicant. I don't have to like what the applicant has done. I don't have to like the way he's gone about his business. I don't have to like the fact that he began doing some renovations without a building permit. We actually have mechanisms to deal with that, so that we could have charged, and in my opinion, should have charged the current owner for proceeding to construct without a building permit. To me, that's the way we deal with that issue. We also have the ability to charge double the building permit fees for someone who commences construction without a building permit. So we're going to be able to levy that. I think putting that all into the bag, I say that I'm going to support this, not enthusiastically, but probably with the knowledge that it's likely the staff report and the recommendation is probably sound. And if I don't like the developer, then I should encourage staff to charge the developer and charge future individuals who breach our building and planning regulations so that they can be fined and dealt with in that fashion. So that's how I've rationalized this. Some people may think that that's a long way to go to get right beside where I'm sitting, but that's how I got there. And so it's just my way of approaching this and thinking about it. I understand why everyone is not comfortable. I'm not all that comfortable with it either, but I think we have to divorce the conduct of the individual from the merits of the actual application.
Thank you, Your Worship. Chair recognizes Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I understand what Mayor Redekop is saying, and if it's directed at me, it has nothing to do with the developer.
No, it wasn't.
And it has to do with these things happen to me too often. And if there's a problem with the owner of this property now, and that he purchased this property and he thought that he had a duplex and he went on and built, well, let him go back to his lawyer and let him go back to the broker. I'm sure that there's some kind of rules when it comes to real estate that they have to disclose what they know. And it was very clear in their sales material that this was single-family dwelling. That's the way it was zoned. And if their lawyer neglected to pick that up, then they have a mechanism to be taken care of themselves. And that is, they go back on the people that they were dealing with. Don't come to the council and say, well, you know, everybody made mistakes and let's just forget about it and move forward. And yeah, if it was a duplex for a long time, it was a duplex illegally for a long time. And illegal is illegal. And we have to deal one way or another. And it's probably going to come up more and more over the next little while now that people in this community are starting to become aware of it. So if we're prepared to allow this one to go through, I'm sure that we're going to have to allow the rest of them to go through, because from what I was told over the last 7 years, you set the precedence, and if someone goes to the OMB, once you set the precedence, you better be prepared to follow through with it every time it comes up. So that's my comments, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? That carries. I'll turn the chair back over to Chair Lubertz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. or Councillor Knott. That brings us to report number PDS 58-2017, proposed signed bylaw recommendation report. The recommendation on the floor is that there's two options. Option A, council approves the proposed signed bylaw attached as Appendix 1, or option B, council approves the amendment of the proposed signed bylaw in accordance with the recommendation contained in report CDS 58-2017, and further, council directs that fees and charges, bylaw number 40-09, as amended, be further amended to establish a new fee for portable sign permits. Madam Mover, Councillor Zanko, any comments or questions? Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if perhaps we can postpone this for 2 weeks. I think that there's some additional information required, and also I think it may be important to seek some input from the area businesses before we move forward on this. So I was hopeful that my colleagues might support a motion to postpone for 2 weeks.
You put that motion forward now?
I can hold back if anyone has any further comment on that.
Yes.
But it is my intention to put that.
Mayor Redekop, you have some comments?
Support that, but I think in the meantime, we should be circulating this bylaw to the BIAs and to the Chamber of Commerce and ask them to notify their members. I don't know if that was done. If it has been done, well, then it's superfluous. But if it hasn't been done, I suggest that we do that as well.
Okay. Mr. Cook, would that go to, can we make sure that that...
To you, Chair, absolutely, we can do that if that's the request or the will of council. We will do that. I don't believe it's been done.
All right, and I just have one small question. I went through the report, and I couldn't find anything on the subdivisions. And we had a lady here, Danielle Miller, I think from Blythewood Homes, and she was asking if developers would be allowed to put up a sign after draft plan approval instead of after registration. And was that in there? Was that changed in there? Okay, all right. Okay, thank you. All right. Councillor Zanko, I think you want to postpone.
Yes, I'd like to put that motion on the floor to postpone for 2 weeks.
2 weeks, and what would that date be? Anyone know? September 18th? Okay, that motion is on the floor. Any comments or questions on the timing? Seeing none, all those in favor? None opposed, that's carried. That brings us to a report PDS 59-2017, proposed zoning bylaw amendment 3601, 3605, 3607, and 3611 Hibbert Street, Willow Trail Townhouses, Ken Gagno, Upper Canada Consultants, Agent 2298423, Ontario Inc., Wolf Goldlust, owner. Member Mover, Councillor McDermott, any comments or questions? Mayor Redekop.
I have a few. Let me start by saying that I think it's regrettable that we get a report on the same evening as a public meeting that provides us with a recommendation. I think it's far better if we receive an information report that gives us an indication of what it is that we could be contemplating, that outlines the background material. I think it puts us in a bit of a predicament in the sense that a staff has now declared what their views are. We haven't heard fully from the public, and we had some comments this evening. And council hasn't even really had an opportunity to convey what we might be thinking about the particular issue. So my first question relates to what is it that has changed now since 2012 when this matter was dealt with by the Committee of Adjustments that would suggest that these are appropriate amendments to the zoning bylaw?
I'll deal with that.
Yeah, Council or Mr. Brady, go ahead.
What has changed is when the Committee of Adjustment dealt with it back in 2012, they identified that there would be one parking space per dwelling, and that would be in the garage, and that the area in front of the garage would not be a parking space. So that was established at that time. What the zoning bylaw amendment does is it changes the positioning of the parking space. So the parking space in the garage is being removed, and therefore that's why planning staff are now referring to that area as not being a garage, and the parking space will be in front of the garage. This would provide the future owners of the property the ability to use the garage for what many people use garages for, is to store materials, but to park their car legally in front of their garage, in front of their unit. That's what's changed.
So if I might, Mr. Chair, the place that is currently a garage, which is going to be reduced in size to make it not a garage according to the planning rules, can that still theoretically be used as a garage for storage of a vehicle if this amendment is approved?
Mr. Brady?
Through you to the mayor. Yes, what is stored in the garage or what is stored in that area is not under consideration. If a small car or boat, for that matter, can fit into that area, it may be stored there. We don't want it to be identified as a garage because we do not want to set a precedent that a garage will have a smaller area. So therefore, we're removing that from the context. It's no longer considered a garage, so that we're not setting a precedent. It can be used for storing a variety of things, including a small car.
Well, it's the word hypocrite to my mind when I think about that. So it may be that no one will use that to store vehicles. I can't imagine that it won't be used if there's a small enough vehicle. And yet we're then basically permitting something that we're seeing can't be permitted, or we're designating it not as a garage, and yet knowing full well that it may very well be used as a garage. I don't know that I'm comfortable with that. In terms of the structure itself, if the amendment were permitted and the doors of the garage were moved back, and I presume they'll look like doors of a garage, although they don't have to be, would it be necessary to get a building permit to change that wall again?
I take it you want me to answer that question. Through to the mayor, a building permit will be required to move the garage doors back to ensure that it's done in a proper fashion. And if in the future there was someone who had considered moving the garage doors back forward, a building permit would be required at that point in time as well.
The this particular report goes through the usual information with the planning context. But in terms of much of what's in these comments about the provincial policy statement, et cetera, that's already been done. This property has been properly zoned for condominium townhouses. And so the fact that it complies with provincial policy statement for intensification, is that really applicable on this particular application?
Mr. Brady?
To the mayor, the policies are still applicable to the development. Whether they're applicable to this particular application, no. This application is solely about one thing, and that is, where will the car be parked? Will the car be parked in the garage as a requirement, or will the car be parked in front of the garage? The idea has already been established by the Committee of Adjustment that one parking space is permitted. That's been established. What we're now talking about is whether it can be moved from inside the garage to in front of the garage.
Well, I wasn't there when the Committee of Adjustments, Mr. Chair, made its decision, but I would imagine that it made its decision based on information that it received from staff, and I think that's what Mr. Kernahan confirmed. So I'd be quite interested in seeing what material was filed with the Committee of Adjustments by the town at the time of that application in 2012. Presume that would be available?
Yes, of course.
So in terms of the report itself, there really are no alternatives identified with the exception of denying the application.
That's correct.
Yeah. There's no reference to the possible alternative of shifting the traveled portion of the road, although we heard comment on that. But my first question is, relative to that, how much of a road widening strip did the municipality require? Is it 1 meter?
Mr. Grant, do you have the specific numbers for both the south side and the north side?
Mr. Kernahan? Mayor Redica, can you turn that mic on? Thank you.
Sorry.
Through you, Chair, to the Mayor, I'm going to see if I could find that information in the applicant's report here, if you could just bear with me for 1 minute.
Okay, yeah, we'll give a couple minutes.
I think the report maybe did make reference to 1 meter. Is there an alternative? I don't know that the 1 meter's, as an alternative, could, if that property's already been conveyed, could it be reconveyed to perhaps put this whole building in context into a different perspective? In other words, do we really need the 1 meter?
Mr. Brady?
Hibbert is quite obviously very, very narrow, and we're attempting, where Hibbert is meeting the prospect, to ensure that we have as much widened area as possible to allow it to operate safely. So that's why we have, why we ask for increases in the road allowance when we're dealing with substandard roads like Hibbert is, and that's the policy of the municipality.
Right. Well, it's a short road, and it's not an extremely traveled road, except maybe on weekends. But I noticed that the north side, there's a bit of a daylight triangle that's been created. Was that created as part of this development approval in the first instance?
Yes.
So is it not possible? I know that I'm pretty confident that the garage on the easterlymost unit is inside. It's not on the outside wall. I'm sure it's on the inside. Is it not possible to create some type of daylight triangle there without requiring the additional road widening for that entire length?
I don't understand the question.
Okay.
Mayor Redding, I think maybe you're talking about maybe making it like a funnel.
Well,
so
what
it's
I'm
wider
what I'm,
near prospect.
You know, what
and
I'm driving
narrow.
What I'm driving at is I'm trying to contemplate what a more palatable resolution to this might be without going through the gyrations of changing garage doors and still having adequate space for a vehicle to park on the exterior of the building, maybe even creating a situation where they've got not only a garage but also space to park on the street, which may involve that strip that was required to be conveyed to the municipality. So if we don't need it, if all we really need is something at Prospect, then maybe there's a potential solution there. I don't know. We haven't seen that. But that's what my question is directed at. If we didn't take the road widening, but we just took a daylight triangle to the south side of Hibbert at Prospect, is that a possibility?
If I might, If council directed staff to return the road allowance that we took on the south side, there would be no need for the zoning bylaw amendment.
So,
not the daylighting triangle, but rather the road allowance along the daylighting triangle would remain. But if council directed staff to return the road allowance, there would be no need for the zoning bylaw amendment. Hibbert would be very narrow and continue to function that way, but there would be no need.
So, Mr. Chair, one of the comments of the Director of Planning was that it's very narrow at Prospect, and I'm just asking the question, even if we were to contemplate that type of maneuver, directing the reconveyance of the road widening strip to accommodate this development to make sure that it complies with other regulations, wouldn't we want a daylighting triangle to the south side of Hibbert?
Mr. Brady?
If you look at Appendix 2, you'll see that there is a daylighting triangle identified at Prospect and Hibbert, which was part of the the additional road allowance that was taken. If you're suggesting that if council wishes to direct staff to give back the road allowance and maintain the daylighting triangle, that would provide for a view at Prospect, and it would remove the need for the zoning bylaw amendment.
So I don't know that I'm in a position to want to make that type of recommendation. I think I'd like a little bit more background information and maybe some comments from staff after they'd have a chance to consider this as to whether that's even a feasible alternative. But I'm looking for alternatives. We've inherited a bad situation. The current owner has purchased a bad situation. I don't feel necessarily compelled to bend over backwards to assist the owner, but this is a situation that needs to be resolved. And I don't think the recommendations in the report strike me as being something that I'd want to actually get involved in. But if there are other alternatives, including the possibility of even shifting the traveled portion of the road, I'd like to have that information. I'd like to know whether that is something that actually could be done. Maybe the cost is prohibitive. Maybe there are other technical reasons why that's something that we shouldn't even contemplate. But we don't have any comment on that, and I think it would be helpful if we did. So I have other questions, but I think the point is that I'd like more information on potential alternatives before I make a decision on this particular recommendation. I'd like to hear what other councillors have to say, but at some point I can say that I'm not prepared to particularly deal with this recommendation this evening, and I do think there's more information that we can obtain.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop, and I agree. And just going back, I just wanted to make a comment on the fact that, you know, here we are, we had a public meeting, and now we're dealing with it immediately. And we had members of the public come forward with their concerns, and they gave some ideas, and they gave some thoughts. And those concerns are not going to be addressed. And I think that's the purpose of a public meeting, is to take all the comments, either for or against, and let staff deal with them, and then come back with a report later on. And I agree with you, but I'll let other members of council ask some questions. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Chair Lubberts. I don't really have any questions. I just have concerns regarding this application. First off, I drive a 4x4 pickup that's a quad cab. With the trailer hitch, it's 19 feet long. And with the running boards, it's over 6 feet wide. I would never be able to fit it in that parking spot. And I think it's naive to assume that some owners, when they buy, would not have larger vehicles. If you look at a Suburban or a Ford Expedition, they would not fit. A full-size SUV would not fit. It's as long as my truck. I have concerns that for winter snow removal, with having a larger vehicle, it being there. I see in the report there were no objections to the application from the fire chief, but if we don't assume the road allowance and widen the road, if a fire truck comes down that street, I mean, if you go to the other end of Hibbert where Trailsides and the mayor's law offices, I'm sure the fire truck's going to bang into one of those coming around that corner. So I understand the viability of the need to widen the road, obviously, to accommodate the emergency services vehicles. Then that puts us right back into issues that were raised by Mr. Strugar with sight lines, the width of the street, and if you have on-street parking, we don't allow that between November and I believe the end of March for snow removal. So where are all those people going to park then? Again, they'll be in a public parking lot, which then we can't plow properly, which I think adds additional burden and liability to the town. So I'd be very interested in reading the Committee of Adjustment minutes and how they arrived at their decision. And I will fully support the mayor's, if he is going to postpone this, I'll definitely fully support that motion. There are just too many questions, and we've heard too much tonight to make a decision on this.
Councilor Zanko.
Thank you. I agree. I think we've inherited a real mess here, and I'm also in a position where I don't think that this is the solution. But I do have one question with regard to the amendment. If we were to just keep the zoning as is, I'm curious, it was mentioned that the current zoning permits parking in the garage only. Who would be providing enforcement if residents decided to park in the garage and encroach a sidewalk or?
Mr. Brady?
The zoning as it is right now, if someone parked in their driveway and there is a prohibition on them doing that currently. So we don't have to measure whether or not they're overhanging the road. What we did is, what the Committee of Adjustment did is they said, yes, you can have your one parking space in the garage, but you will not have a parking space in front. So it's really quite simple. The bylaw enforcement, if somebody parks in their driveway, they ticket them.
Thank you. I actually have even more concern with that because I know we don't have enough bylaw enforcement staff to possibly be available 24/7 a day, 24/7 daily. So I'm hopeful that there's a motion to postpone this because I think either way it's still another mess.
Yes,
quite honestly.
Councilor Zanko, I understand exactly what you're saying, and as a former councilor in the last term of council, I remember this discussion about the parking. And if I remember correctly, the stipulation is on the purchase and sale agreement, so that when the purchase and sale agreement is drawn up, the owner understands they have to park in the garage. But after it's resold, I don't know that the first owner is going to tell the second owner about that rule. And that brings up another question. Can we give a ticket to somebody on their private property? I mean, we might have to talk to Mr. Lusdick about that. I don't know the laws, but can you give somebody a parking ticket on their private property?
Well, I think that the prohibition that through you, Your Worship, that Mr. Brady was talking about wasn't a parking ticket. He was talking about a violation of the zoning bylaw because, as the Committee of Adjustment determined it ultimately, from what I understand, the zoning bylaw is the instrument by which this prohibition exists. And yes, of course, zoning bylaws are normally enforced against people who are using their property contrary to the zoning bylaw. So if my understanding of the facts is correct, that it is a zoning bylaw, and I see that Mr. Brady is not nodding, then yeah, you can enforce it through a zoning bylaw proceeding. And with respect to the private property owner.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Any, Councilor McDermott?
I think I agree with most everybody around the table that this is a big can of worms, and we've had a lot of new information come forward today, and I wouldn't have any trouble at all if you're planning on moving this forward for a couple of weeks. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Any other comments or questions?
I just want to make just a, if we're, it sounds like Mayor Redekop, you're going to ask to postpone this for a few weeks. One of the things that was brought up by Mr. Poole was the fact that the angle of the parking of the driveway, and now you're going to put the garage door back, so now you're going to have a flat surface. And I think that's important that there be addressed, because I agree, that is a big slope, and now you're going from a slope to a straight. I don't know how that's going to work out, or if that can be accommodated, or maybe the driveway has to be lowered in the near the garage. And but I think I agree with everybody else. I think we need other alternatives other than just moving the garage door back, because I think we can all agree, we can see that that garage door is just going to get put back, and then it's going to be up to a future council to say, well, you have to put it back, or they're just going to apply for an amendment to the zoning, and they're going to have their full garage and a small driveway, and this is just going to go back and forth. So we need something permanent other than what they're going to. Councilor Zanko.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did want to point out, though, that it looks to me like staff is trying to find a solution. When I read this report, I think staff probably would agree that we've inherited a mess. And although I'm not comfortable to support this tonight, I do appreciate the fact that there are other options that are coming forward. That's furthermore where I think maybe a few more weeks there could be some more solutions as well.
Okay, any further comments or questions? Mayor Redekop.
So the only question I have is whether 2 weeks is going to be adequate, whether staff might require 4 weeks, but the information that I think that I would like to get, and there may be others who want additional information, is the material from the Committee of Adjustment proceeding that took place in 2012. So not only the application, but staff's report, any decision, and whether there's any other material or complaints filed, which would be, I suppose, included in the minutes. I'd also like to, I'd like staff to take a look at Mr. Strugar's message. He raised several questions, some of which may have already been addressed, but I think there were some in there that hadn't been adequately responded to, and I'd like to get answers to those. And then perhaps a fleshing out of whether there are other alternatives, which could include doing something with that road widening strip, or the possibility of shifting the road, or whatever else staff might be able to assist us. I agree with Councillor Zanko. Staff is trying to ameliorate a very bad situation. I don't criticize them for that. I think that's what we're expecting them to do. But having asked for that type of information, I don't know if there's more information that councillors would like. Is that something that staff can respond to in 2 weeks? Would they want 4 weeks?
If council wishes, this would come back at the first meeting of October.
That's fine. So I would move that we postpone the decision on this report until the first committee meeting in October, and that the information that I've requested be provided to councillors along with any other information that other councillors might request.
And that motion is on the floor. Any comments or questions? I'd just like to make one small comment. Can we add just a little friendly amendment? Can we add comments from the general public that they made tonight that they be addressed as well?
If there are items that were raised, yes, I would expect that they would be responded to by staff.
Okay, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to new business and inquiries. Any new business or inquiries? Again, I would like to make an inquiry for staff. Actually, I'd like to bring a motion forward, and I'm wondering if Councilor Nutt, you can take the chair again. Yes,
that's fine. I'll take the chair for now.
You don't have to give up the floor if you're just making an inquiry.
No, I'd like to bring a motion forward.
Okay. Well, then give the chair back to me if you're going to be asking.
I'll bring the chair back.
I'm going to be making comment under new business and inquiry, if you could give the chair.
Yeah, I'll take the chair.
Okay. Councilor Mayor Redekop, you have the chair.
You have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much. Listening to the comments on our last report, and
if I recall correctly, this is the second time we have had a report or a public meeting and then a report the same evening, and we're being asked to vote on that. And I don't know how to put the motion forward, but I'd like to direct staff that any further public meetings, that a report for recommendation for council approval be a minimum of 2 weeks after or the next committee meeting.
I wonder if I could suggest this, Mr. Councillor Lubberts. It is a committee meeting, so you can't really give a notice of motion at a committee meeting. That's why we've got a special council meeting this evening. But I wonder if we shouldn't give staff a week between now and the next regular council meeting where you could bring forth a motion to find out exactly whether we have a policy and why it is that staff would feel the need to put forth a recommendation report the same night as a public meeting on a planning matter. And there may be some information in there that will give us some guidance or may assist you in the type of notice of motion you might want to put forth next Tuesday. So we can get that information by, or sorry, next Monday. If we can get that information by next Monday, that may be of assistance to you.
Yeah, that, I don't mind waiting. I don't want to put staff in a burden or anything, but as for our own, you know, we bring these things. I want the public, not so much me, because I get the report on Thursday or Wednesday, and I can read for the whole weekend, and I can do my due diligence, and I can check things out. But the general public, most people, you know, they don't know where to look to get information and get this. And when they come, they have their concerns and they make their comments, and then we have absolutely no time at all to address them. And I think it's only fair for everybody that comes to a council meeting and takes their time to come out here to make their comments that we address their concerns as well as answer our questions. So, yeah, I don't mind bringing that up at a later date.
I agree. Mr. Brady, is that some information that you could in a memo provide to council for next Monday?
Absolutely. We can certainly provide a memo. I'll just very, very briefly explain that the reason why we have the two different processes is we have what's referred to as a small zoning bylaw and amendment and a large zoning bylaw amendment. That was brought about recently because there was a push by council to move development quicker. And so that was brought into being as a result of this council's direction through the strategic plan. However, if we want to go back to having the method where all zoning bylaw amendments are treated the same, that's fine. I will have let council know that the vast majority of municipalities deal with zoning bylaw amendments the same night as recommendation reports. But I agree, particularly on the complex ones and on the ones that have a lot of public input, that it's important that we segregate them into two different meetings, and we've done that as much. Both of the issues that Councillor Lubert has raised, staff had thought that they were going to be relatively straightforward because there was no one who raised any issue moving up through to the writing of the report. And there was no one who attended at the public information sessions. So obviously the public information sessions and their attendance is not a good indication for whether or not there is concern in the public. That's what we had hoped that they would be. So we may have to look at that as well. But certainly I will prepare a memo on why we're doing what we're doing. And I'll also provide an alternative for council to consider in terms of directing us into the future.
That would be very helpful. And I think that would be very helpful. Councillor Nutt, you're next. Finish, Councillor Lubberts. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd just like for Mr. Brady to recognize Jeremy and when we had attended the site out at River States Trail. Not only did he address the constituents' concerns when she came out of her home to speak to both of us, just surprised that we were there so early in the morning, but also that he had picked up on other issues along the way that she nor I did not identify, and he was very good at explaining those in layman's terms and laying out a course of action to her directly that he had committed to follow. So, and I know that he did follow up with her. So I just want to recognize his good work in that.
I appreciate that much, Lee, and I'll pass that along to him.
Yes, thank you very much, Councillor Nutt. Any other new business or inquiries? Along a similar vein, Councillor Nutt, Grant Boutin was dispatched by the CAO to look at a problem at one of the newer residences in town, and we'd received a distraught message from the homeowner. He went out, and the homeowner's wife was home. She was impressed with the fact that someone from the town would respond, and I know that the planning department is following up with respect to that, and Mr. Boutin. Mr. Cookett, I wish you would pass on to him our appreciation. We're used to him being very customer-oriented, and he did that again. So please pass that on. If there are no other new business or inquiries, Councillor Lubritz, I'll pass the chair back to you for the business status report, unless you want me to handle that.
No, that's fine. Thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. That brings us to business status report. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? None opposed. That's carried.
Do we vote on the business status report?
Yes. Do you have, you can have the chair back.
Thank you. Any meeting scheduled other than the council, special council meeting that's going to immediately follow this council and committee meeting? Councilor Nutt? No? You're just getting poised
just
for the adjournment.
I'm just getting poised to adjourn, Your Worship.
I'm taking it to you then.
Thank you, Your Worship. The council and committee meeting for the Town of Fort Erie hereby adjourns at 8:17 p.m.
All those in favor? That is carried. So this meeting is concluded.